This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
More moves in the NFL. Had a friend of ours hit me up. He's like, hey, Dukes, free agency starts on March 13th at 4 o'clock. I know. I've been saying these deals don't become official until the start of the league year, which is Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
They created this a couple of years ago. It is a bit confusing, but now teams can talk to agents. Agents have a deal in principle. Then they tell the media.
It's called legal tampering.
And then we get it to you.
Okay. But none of this becomes official until Wednesday. So, and that's what we're talking about, all these deals. And guys, if you're just tuning in, there's a ton of stuff that we've got to recap and get to, but there's even a new twist that has just happened because Dan Quinn, Mike, trying to improve his offensive line, has traded for Laremy Tunsil. This guy's a five-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle, played with the Houston Texans. He's going to the Commanders. So the terms are a second rounder and a fourth rounder to the Texans, plus a third rounder this year.
Mm.
Tunsil goes to Washington, and Houston sends back a fourth rounder and Tunsil to Washington. So a bunch of picks, and you go get an established guy who's going to make $20 million this year in the National Football League.
He'll be 31 this August, but as we see with Jake Matthews, you know, as long as you can stay, you know, knock wood healthy, keep the knees in good shape, you can play forever or longer. And certainly this is a guy that beefs up that O-line. And look, when you go as far as they did and exceed all expectations, you're ahead of schedule. Now you're beefing things up. They're adding pieces. They moved on from Jonathan Allen. But they're just, they're looking, I mean, imagine they get Trey Hendrickson. And there's some talk about that as well. So we'll see if they can if they have to reshuffle some pieces to make some more cap space. The Patriots are making moves. Carolina's making moves. The Bucks made some moves today. We don't have any cap space. A lot of Falcon fans are coming at us and going, what's the deal? When you heard those stories a few weeks ago, and I forget, somebody nationally said, Falcons will be very aggressive. No, we were never going to be aggressive. You know, unless you found somebody to trade for Kirk Cousins, and that's a 100-to-1 shot.
It didn't happen. Hasn't happened. Tick tock. 404-726-0929. We want to hear from you, but right now we got to talk some dogs. All right, Connor Riley, I want to start with hoops first because it's front and center. We got SEC tournament going on or this week, and then obviously selection committee and all the stuff that'll happen getting ready for the tournament. Do you think Mike White has done enough with what they've done here as of late to get into the tournament? What do they have to do in the SEC tournament?
I do. I think they're safely in the tournament at this point. You look at the totality of their resume. I believe they only have one non-T1 loss, meaning, aka, all your losses are really good. They've got wins over St. John's team that is going to be a top 10 team, a win over a Florida team, which might be a one seed. They've got a win over a Kentucky team, which is going to be a top 3 seed there as well. So they've got the quality wins. They don't really have any bad losses. As we sit here, they're also ahead of teams like Oklahoma and Texas in the bubble picture, which they've beaten head-to-head. They play Oklahoma on Wednesday night, and I think that's a game where if you win that, you're playing for seeding. more so than just trying to get into the tournament there.
I saw the Joe Lunardi, bracketology, so it looks good. Ironically, Oklahoma right now on the cusp, they are some of the first four out. So this game with Oklahoma has some importance coming up in two nights.
Yeah, and it's a team Georgia beat earlier in the season. Granted, that game was played at Segment Coliseum, where Georgia has just been a much better team. I think Oklahoma is going to be the hungrier team in this situation, just given what I think what they're playing for and what's at stake with them, whereas this is a Georgia team. They're playing their best basketball of the season right now. They've won four games in a row. They've had double digits in all of those leads. And most importantly, I think you've seen growth from this team in the sense that they're not giving away games like they were earlier in the season. They're able to build those leads in the first half and then maintain them, or in the case of Vanderbilt this past weekend, play a back-and-forth game in the first half and then go on a big run in the second half to come away with a win. So you've seen this team make big strides of late. They're playing their best basketball entering March. And, I mean, that's a tip of the cap to Mike White for getting what is still, I think, a very young basketball team to be doing that at this time of year, especially with the ups and downs they went through.
Connor, I agree. And by the way, the Vandy win was big this weekend. I thought that was a big win. Vandy's good. For those who haven't watched Vandy this season, and that was a quality win. We're talking with Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation. Let's shift gears and talk about the Dogs, spring football. Who are guys that you're watching to have maybe a breakout spring?
That's a great question, because there's a mix of guys that played a little bit last year, like a Chris Cole, I think, falls into that bucket. Former five-star inside linebacker. They've got to replace Jalen Walker and all that he brings to the table. I think Chris Cole has a chance to really be that guy. Whereas you maybe look at other spots, maybe a little bit further down the depth chart of guys who I think can play a little bit more, have a little bit more practice time this spring. And I think of someone like DeMelo Jones. I know we've talked a lot about Ellis Robinson and what he might do. The coaching staff loves DeMelo Jones and what he brings to this team, the toughness that he plays with. And as he enters year two, like, that cornerback position battle is going to be very fierce. And it wouldn't surprise me if DeMelo Jones, who not as hyped up as the five-star prospect that Ellis Robinson was, well, we come out of spring talking about DeMelo Jones as a guy that is going to be a contributor for this Georgia team this fall.
Connor Riley, guys. It's K. Connor Riley on Twitter for your Dog Nation fix. We got the big pro day coming up here on, Wednesday? And some of the guys who didn't get invited to the combine, like, the perky Dan Jackson, Carl, and Benjamin Jurecek, Chaz Chambliss. So these guys all get a chance to show. Obviously not going to see Walker because of the quad injury, but we will see Mikael Williams.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity first for those first couple of guys who didn't get a chance to go to the pro day, to the NFL combine. Like, I believe Dan Jackson is going to be drafted regardless of whether or not the fact that he went to the NFL combine. I think if you look at the tape that he put out there, he's a better athlete than he gets credit for. And I think he's going to be someone who, whether it's special teams or actually helping in sub packages, has an NFL future, especially just playing at Georgia and everything that comes with that and how they prepare guys for the next year there. I think one of the more interesting things you're going to be watching in specifics here, what is the representation like for the Atlanta Falcons on Wednesday? Because I think this season, maybe more than any other in terms of following the draft, it's become a very real story of, is Atlanta going to take a Georgia player in the first round? But I think also potentially in the second round as well, because we talked so much about the edge rushers in the first round there, whether it be Jalen Walker or Mikael Williams. I look at someone like Jared Wilson there in the second round, who a quality athlete, a guy that I think his best football is ahead of him at that center position. And the Falcons just lost Drew Dowman to the Chicago Bears, reportedly, via free agency. And I wonder if there's a world where maybe in the first and second round, the Falcons double dip with Georgia players and they take an edge rusher like Mikael Williams at 15, and then in the second round come back and grab a guy like Jared Wilson. And I'm wondering just how interested, how into things tomorrow are the Atlanta Falcons brass going to be?
You know people would lose their mind, right? you'd know that, right, if that actually happened. Connor, Dogs brought in six transfers this winter, two big dogs at wide receiver. What are your expectations for Zachariah Branch and former A&M receiver Noah Thomas? I mean, like, I keep talking to people, and they're like, man, these dudes are big, and they can catch the ball, and am I over-exaggerating that what they could mean to this offense?
No, I think Georgia needs them to come in and be difference makers. And these guys have contributed at the Power 4 level before. The early reports on Noah Thomas have been really, really good and really encouraging. And given Georgia didn't have a big-bodied wide receiver, especially down the stretch last season, what he might be able to bring in terms of winning those outside battles and stretching the field vertically, I think can't be understated, especially with what we've seen from Gunnar Stockton in the limited sample size in terms of how he likes to play. And as far as Zachariah Branch, five-star talent, really impactful special teams player, he's still got to develop as a wide receiver. And I think you look at, and I know Georgia fans are going to roll their eyes here a little bit, but you look at what James Coley did a year ago with Arian Smith, and I know drafts were an issue with Arian Smith, but the way that he grew in other aspects, I think, was really encouraging for how Georgia might try and use Zachariah Branch. Obviously, you hope Branch has the better ability at catching the football, but they need those two guys that they brought in to be instant impact players, if not the best wide receivers on the team next year.
The running backs, you know, we know that Frazier's got all the tools. I mean, are you worried about the fumbles, or is that all behind him now?
It's one of those things of just like, until it's something we don't see for a while, it's always going to be something that you worry about. And the fumbles thing, even before it popped up in games for Georgia last season, like, he didn't play in the Alabama game because he had issues with ball security in practice. Like, it was not just a one or two off thing. This was something that plagued him all season long. And even in that Texas game, he had a fumble that Arian Smith was very fortunate to pounce on there. So it's going to be something where, and you've seen this at the NFL level, I think Tiki Barber famously had a fumbling issue early in his NFL career, and then he was able to fix it. I do think a lot of it is mental, and it is something that can be fixed, and that's something I think you can work on a lot.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
But until we go a long time without seeing Nate Frazier fumble the ball, every time you see him fight for extra yards, I certainly understand if you're going to wince a little bit expecting that he might cough the ball up.
It's Connor Riley, guys, talking all things Dogs. So tomorrow is the first practice. Is that correct, Tuesday?
Yes, practice begins on Tuesday. Pro day is set for Wednesday.
All right, and spring game, obviously G-Day, is going to be April 12th. So how many practices are we talking about total? Is it 15 or 11?
Yeah, I get 15 in total.
Okay, so 15 practices total for the Dogs as we talk about all the things that are going on both sides of the football, guys. And, you know, this is going to be an interesting spring for Kirby, too, you know, and talk about his adjustments. Just briefly, Connor, when you talk about how he's approached these springs and what he's done differently, because every spring it seems like he's doing something to enhance the team in a certain way.
Right, and it's going to be very interesting this year just because you see other college programs doing things differently with spring practice. You know, Texas isn't having a spring game. Missouri's not going to have one. So when we get a chance to talk to Kirby tomorrow, of the many things we want to hear about, whether it be injuries, you know, the decision to retain all 10 coaches from last year's coaching staff, what does he see as the value of spring football right now, just given how much college is changing, how much longer these seasons are going, and ultimately what he wants to get out of this team? I think that's one of the fair questions he'll be asked tomorrow, and I'll be interested in seeing what he answers because I think he's going to give a thoughtful answer on the subject.
Bringing it back to hoops before we wrap up with Connor Riley from Dog Nation, going to the big dance, hopefully making it out of the first round, will that get more Georgia Bulldog boosters and more folks involved? I mean, what more do you need to get basketball really cooking with with the NIL and get more of these transfers to come? Because that's what the way I look at what Rick Pitino's doing. I look at what other coaches around the country are doing. What does Mike White need? And hopefully will this build some momentum for that program?
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to phrase it, Mike, is build momentum. They've taken the first step. They've made the NCAA tournament for the first time in a decade. And like, you look at what Tennessee is doing now. You look at what Auburn is doing now. I'm old enough to remember, you know, those programs were dormant in basketball for long stretches of the 2010s. And because Rick Barnes at Tennessee and Bruce Pearl at Auburn were able to maintain success and build slowly, you've turned them into juggernauts where every year now they're getting top seeds in the NCAA tournament. With Georgia, it's not going to happen overnight. They're not going to bring in a bunch of new talent next year that dramatically raises the floor and ceiling of this program. But they've taken that first step. They've made the NCAA tournament this year. Maybe they're able to win a game. Mike White and his time at Florida never lost a game in the first round, 4-0 there. So next year, can you build off this? Can you go from a team that was scraping and fighting to get into the NCAA tournament, which they did, to a team that is comfortably in the tournament and maybe climbs higher up the SEC pecking order? It's not going to be a quick build, a quick turnaround for Mike White, but he's taken the first big step, and I think there's a reason to believe, especially with what they potentially can have come back next year, to keep building off this and eventually potentially get to the point where they have that kind of success.
Connor, tell the people where they can find you.
Yep, you guys can follow me on Twitter, at KConnorRiley. Busy, busy time with Georgia. We got the NCAA tournament next week. Ton of fun. Looking forward to it.
Great stuff, man. Looking forward to talking to you next week as things start to play out. And again, Kirby will address the media tomorrow. That's Connor Riley from Dog Nation. We are Dukes and Bell. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. We're coming back. More moves around the National Football League, including Grady. He's got a new home. He was released. Word got out earlier today. He's headed to a new team. We'll tell you about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Panthers continue to make moves. They've got some money in free agency. They've agreed to terms with former Vikings edge rusher Patrick Jones, the second. Two-year deal, $20 million, Mike. He had 7 sacks last year. We keep talking about sacks for us. He heads to Carolina. They already locked up their star corner in J.C. Horn.
Mm.
And then they finalized a deal with Milton Williams. Carolina making some moves, man. We need to talk about Grady Jarrett, though, guys. And if you are a Falcons fan, you're feeling some kind of way today with the move. And if you've heard, if you haven't, that Grady was released by the Falcons today, which allowed him to basically go find a new home. And he already has. He has agreed to a new 3-year deal with the Chicago Bears. But, Mike, as we started the show today, it was interesting to hear from our listeners, and you're more than welcome to dial us up at 404-726-0929. We will take more of your calls in the 5 o'clock hour, guys, about where our franchise is and how do you feel about what's going on right now. We're getting a lot of frustrating, you know, mixed messages on social media as well from people who are feeling some kind of way today.
Now, it's as we say, we follow this stuff for a living. And look, we follow the Falcons. We got season tickets. We live and die with this team just like you guys. And, you know, it's kind of been something we've gone round and round with some of the audience over about being too hard or too critical of the front office the last couple of years. But this one, moving on from Grady, look, we told you, Carl and I prepared the ground for this for like weeks, that, you know, one of the logical places to save some money in the cap. Because right now, guys, remember, we were over. We were in the red. We're not in the black. They were going to have to make some moves. They may still, Carl, restructure some more guys. Maybe right. Lindstrom, right. Maybe AJ, maybe Bates. We'll find out. They still got another day and two to do it. But this was always coming. We told you this. I think some guys were in denial over this with Grady because they really see him as that brick and mortar, heart and soul guy, everything we know about Grady. But, I mean, I just think, can you argue, and this is where some Falcon fans have a hard time accepting it, was he the same guy after the ACL injury? You know, and do you take a full year for him to really, or a year and a half to get back to it? Onyemata restructured last year, but I still thought they can still cut him. But this is a defense that doesn't really do a great job getting the quarterback on the ground. So I always felt you trust the guys you drafted. At some point, the youth is going to be served here. Like Ruka Roro better be a beast.
Well, look, I think, as I've told you time and time again, I'm less concerned about him than maybe some of the other guys. But we did spend draft capital on defense last year. The problem was we just didn't see enough of it. You know, second-round defense, third-round defense, fourth-round defense, fifth-round defense. And again, J.D. Bertrand was going to come in and be a rotational backup anyway. But the fact was they felt like that was somebody that they needed to have, and so they drafted him. I mean, to be quite honest with you, like, Mike, this is what I think is going to happen this year. I don't think for any second, one inch, that it's not going to be defense, defense, defense.
Right.
That's where I think we're going. But with that said, it's still about getting the guys that can contribute right now, which is what you're talking about. And we didn't see enough of that last year from any of these guys. Rook contributed the most, but then he got injured and wasn't able to show us at the end of the season what it was all about. But yeah. I don't know if he's going to be a star. I don't want to go that far.
But he's had an impact. He's had an impact.
Well, absolutely. Second round pick, 35th overall. that's a guy that should be a stud for you.
I mean, you're on the cusp of the first round, as Carl just said. That's why a lot of folks just figured, okay, we're going to sit where we were and just take one of those corners. It was a run on corners, and that would have been opposite A.J. Terrell, and that was, I think, what we had kind of mocked and thought was going to be the case. They went the other way. They, you know, when you move up for Rook, because he was not graded to be top of the second round by pre-draft analysts, now only time will tell, but he better be an impact guy. You know, Braylon Trice has to hit the ground running coming off an ACL. Dorlas played 2 games. Troy Anderson played 9 games the last 2 seasons. These are all guys that you drafted to be the bedrock of your team. You know, certainly Troy Anderson, Carl, is drafted to be to play a significant role on this defense.
404-726-0929. Mike, Rook was the second or third best tackle in this draft last year. That's what they drafted. Now, if he turns out to be what you're saying, then they got the right guy.
Right.
But when you talk about the guys that went in front of him, he was not projected to be the first guy off the board. But I don't know, man. Look, I think right now I am more concerned with where the plan is what we're talking about. You make the decision on Grady. This is a tough decision, but it needed to be made. And look, the Falcons are going to move forward. But I said this. It's not the decision. It's what you do after. It's not the divorce. Right. It's what you do after. Where are you going? How are you handling it? What are you going to do? And so for me, now it's like, what are these decisions that Terry and company are going to make with Ryan Pace in the front office that are going to take us in the right direction?
But I mean, as D-Led said, I mean, we're going to be a bargain basement shopping, Carl. I think just the fan base sees all the names you recognize, teams making big, you know, teams in our division making moves, guys being added in this legal tampering period will all become official after Wednesday. And you go, where's the beef? What are the Falcons going to do? I mean, that's why I never really understood some of these articles that said we're going to be very aggressive in free agency. Certainly not day one. You know, we're going to be looking for, you know, tier two, tier three guys. And technically, we still have to create more cap space to do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Josh Sweat winds up with the Arizona Cardinals. We already talked about Milton. You know, you got dudes that are flying all over the place from Philadelphia, guys that you would certainly covet. But how would they fit with your defense? They're surrounded by great talent in Philadelphia. You and I were always a little dubious about how they might fit here in Atlanta.
Yeah, and Milton Williams, there's two, all right? One, the guy that went to the Patriots, that we talked about the Carolina Panthers retaining some of their own guys, and then obviously Josh Sweat, who goes to the Cardinals. But those, look, ultimately, and this is funny because a guy just hit me up and he goes, guys, we're cooked. This all starts and finishes with Cousins. Okay. I hear you, but the Cousins situation hasn't played itself out. And I understand how that is hampering us,
right,
Chris, in doing things that we want to do in free agency, which is what we were saying way back when everybody said, ah, that money's in the budget. Forget about it. We're good. We're okay. And that's with the cap going up.
Right. It's already spent. That money's spent. I mean, that's the thing. We know it's a nice way to spend it. We budgeted for this quarterback. Okay. Like, I'm doing my old argument about the draft. And, guys, you can go back and look at that draft and see how it would have played out. And there's only one team you had to worry about. You could have moved up 2 spots if Penix, you identify as the guy. I'm done arguing that, okay? But because you went and you rolled the dice on a 36-year-old coming off an Achilles, who, by the way, apparently has some sort of, I don't know, bipolar disorder, where one day he's healthy, the next day he's not when he's trying to.
Yeah, I'm good. That was a bit of a clerical error.
Right. I mean, he tried to strong-arm the Falcons by going national down to the Super Bowl and basically saying, I was hurt. And then, well, how is the team not supposed to team? And then the team looks like jerks because then all the fans go, well, how do they not know Cousins wasn't right? You can't have him here. Your best case scenario is somebody gets caught, Carl, in musical chairs. Who all these quarterbacks are getting places. They're all landing.
They are.
I mean, if the Giants don't get Aaron Rodgers or the Steelers don't get Aaron Rodgers, maybe they go for a gap deal and they come and talk to us about Kirk Cousins. The Giants could just draft Shedeur Sanders.
Easily. They got the 3rd overall pick. There's no reason why they don't need our help. No. And it'd be cheaper.
Correct.
By the way.
And then you've got the salary cap. That's another aspect. I was just talking with Rusty Manziel on the phone. You know, you look at the other teams that are doing these deals because they have a rookie quarterback contract in place. This is the great chicken and the egg with the Cousins and Michael Penix Jr. That's why I've always said, just trust your draft. And that's the thing. Either you would have researched had you not gotten Cousins in the parallel universe, Carl, you would have worked out all the quarterbacks. You may have liked Bo Nix. Who knows? They may have said, wow, this Bo Nix might be something special. We might have scoffed at it. Who knows? He would have been our guy. Or Penix was our guy. But the point is, we'd have a quarterback on a rookie deal and not have dead money jammed up on a player who's never going to be here this season.
Yeah, you've got a quarterback on a rookie deal, but you've also got the other thing that's hanging over your head.
That's right.
All right, man, 404-726-0929. There is a lot going on. And if you're going, wait a minute, quarterbacks are landing. Yes, Sam Darnold has a new home. He's in Seattle. Justin Fields is going to the Jets. This is why we're talking about this quarterback carousel and potentially what's going to be left open for any kind of deal. And once we get to the draft, and this is why this has to be worked out now, once the teams decide, to Mike's point, about, hey, we're drafting, all right, first three teams, Tennessee drafts a quarterback, Giants draft a quarterback, like all of a sudden now it takes you out of the mix of potentially doing anything with those teams because it's just not smart financially for them to do any kind of deal when they're going to go into the draft and try to draft this guy in the first round. Now, I don't think there's going to be five or six quarterbacks taken in this draft in the first round, but the ones that need quarterbacks, Mike, if they do, then what are you left with? You're left with waiting to see if somebody, unfortunately, has a catastrophic injury and then calls and says, hey, we know you guys have Cousins. We really need a quarterback. But, guys, that might not happen until, hell, middle of the season. Right. We don't know.
We've covered it last week. The reasoning why, we just explained it. The way Kirk played the Falcons and the way he pulled that crap at the Super Bowl, I don't think that's a guy you're going to have in that building. Answering questions with the media, you know, you want him over Michael Penix Jr. You want Michael Penix Jr. to blossom and not worry about Cousins. It's a complete reversal. You know, Cousins lied about his injury status because he was so upset that Penix was here. So now we got to just turn the page, eat that money. Hopefully, as Carl said, there's some kind of miracle scenario where somebody comes and maybe gives us a few dollars for him or a draft pick.
We're going to see Falcons also lose Drew Dahlman. We're going to talk more about this coming up at the top of the hour as part of our Falcon Report. We will break down all of the moves in regards to the Falcons specifically, but also get into later next hour all of these other big moves that are going to happen. Lots of faces changing places, man, and it's just the nature of free agency. This is what we love about the NFL, but the real question is, how are we going to get better, and are we during this period? You cannot ignore free agency. Even if you have a little money, Mike, to spend and expect your team to take a step forward. The Cowboys have tried this for years where Jerry hasn't spent in free agency, Mike. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. It doesn't help your team. So that is why we keep saying, okay, great, you release Grady, but who else are you going to restructure? Because that's just not enough money to play with.
Lynn just hit us up on Twitter saying, when are we going to restructure? Well, we just brought it up. AJ, Bates, Lindstrom. Look, we were a little surprised that Jake got restructured, a new contract extension, but Jake, again, knock wood, he has been just so reliable. You know, he's been able to stay healthy, and hopefully that continues. You know, we thought maybe they'd move on from McGarry, you know, and try to upgrade the right tackle position, which now becomes the new blind side, but they seem to be satisfied at least right now. So the only thing that can create some cap space to get some of those players that you covet is to restructure those contracts you just talked about. So when is that going to happen? How come we haven't heard about that?
I don't know.
And they obviously wanted to keep Grady, guys. That certainly, Carl, went into the 11th hour, but Todd France and Grady weren't prepared to take a pay cut, and most fans don't blame them.
No, and I wouldn't have either. Not when you have an open market and you've got teams that are vying for your services. He would not have gotten $30 million guaranteed here. He would not have. All right, we're coming back. What's coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man. Well, you and I have always been curious about the whole, you know, concept of aliens, you know, government, what it knows, what it doesn't know. There's a new documentary, and it's not like one of those kooky documentaries. Not that wacky stuff you see on, like, the History Channel 2 late night. This is like a real documentary on what we know and what they don't know. And you're going to be blown away by this.
Oh, good. Oh, God.
Scary stuff coming up next. Coming up at 5 o'clock, guys, more on the Falcons' money moves today. Grady getting released and then landing on his feet in the Windy City. So stay tuned for all that. Carl, you and I have been big fans of science fiction, right? We always watch documentaries on aliens and stuff like that, too, because we're always kind of interested in what's going out there. The videos that came out the last, like, 4 or 5 years from the Pentagon, like from the Navy, all these, you know, these things that are zipping around the ocean and nobody can catch up to it. I mean, quite clearly, not of this earth.
Well, the way that it turns and the footage, and when you hear fighter pilots go, what is that?
Right.
It makes you wonder. And some of the stuff, Mike, we still haven't gotten answers on.
Well, listen to this. There's a new documentary that just dropped, and it's at the South by Southwest Film Festival, which is a big one.
Austin.
Right. And this one is all about UFOs. Now, there's been this this one researcher for the Defense Department. You've seen him on a few documentaries. He's talked about it. Well, they got him. They've actually spoken not just this guy, because usually when you watch these documentaries on UFOs, it's always some wacko. They always have the bolo ties. You ever notice that? It's a retired defense contractor or Pentagon guy with always got the bolo tie and the ill-fitting suit.
True.
Or somebody's got a very strange earring. You don't really see them as like mainstream. You can really buy into what they're selling. Either way, this documentary that's come out now saying that aliens, not only are they real, we got multiple aliens that we've been dealing with. Yeah. As early as 1947. It was no weather balloon, Carl. Documentary is called The Age of Disclosure, and its director is named Dan Farah. He spoke with basically over 30 experts, spent 3 years on this thing. And basically, Carl, we've got technology from aliens. We've got a couple of different versions of aliens that have visited the Earth. And now it's also a battle between us, the Russians, and China to get the alien technology.
When you say we've gotten technology from them, so things that we've created we've
reverse engineered stuff from the Earth, which you're going to find in this documentary, which apparently is quite thorough.
Okay.
So the fact is we're not alone in the universe. There's been recovery of technology of non-human origin. The fact that other nations are also recovering this technology, and that we're in a race with China and Russia to reverse engineer this technology.
Do you believe it?
I mean, up until a couple of years ago, I always thought it was, you know, because the old joke was,
hoax.
You know, why if there's intelligent life in the universe, it has always seemed to visit the dumbest people on the planet. You know, it's always some guy like, I was sitting there in my bass boat, and then next thing you know, the aliens are probing me.
Yeah,
you
it's know, true.
So this kind of goes in depth, and they talk to a lot of former members of the defense community, members of the military. Mm. And just real quick, it's a big article, by the way, in Variety, because this is a film that's just getting a lot of juice. So it may get a theatrical release, or it may just go right to HBO. We'll see where it goes. But Age of Disclosure is the flick. They're also, here's where it gets scary. They're saying that aliens have activated nuclear weapons and deactivated nuclear weapons.
Our nuclear weapons.
As in somebody somewhere somehow just goes, and then, I just kidding. So anyway, I read this article today and I was like, wow. So yeah, apparently there's been two different life forms that have come to Earth and we've interacted with them. So again, there's a lot to process in this, but if you get a
chance.
Where
are they, Mike? We've interacted with them. Where are they?
Well, quite clearly at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base or in Area 51. Yeah, you saw Independence Day.
I mean, where are these aliens? Yeah.
So anyway, the Age of Disclosure, it doesn't take time to show you just how real UAPs are. Now UFOs are now unidentified aerial.
Yeah. They changed the name.
Mind-boggling findings apparently will have you literally maybe like freaked out a little bit if you see this movie. So guy says, great line, goes, would we have won the space race if the president hadn't stepped to the mic and said, we're going to the moon? He says it's time for the president, for everybody in government to finally just save what's, let's be honest, say where this is at, because we got to win the race with the other guys.
Okay.
The other guys who have access to this technology.
Can we handle that, though?
No, not even close.
We can't handle it.
No. Society would just completely go off.
Correct. I mean, like, you've seen the look, I know we've all seen the movies, but that there's some truth to this.
Right.
All right? I mean, so the idea that somebody just comes out and is a viable, credible source that says, look, here's the situation.
Right.
People would start screaming and losing their minds immediately.
Right. No, I'm just telling you, but this one, and this is getting some, it's really well done. Because, you know, I always joke around with Carl, when you watch, do you ever watch something on like the History Channel? And it's like, just get on with it. You know, because a commercial break, you know, an hour show is actually 44 minutes. And it's like, they always come out of a commercial break. They spend half the commercial, they reset. Get on with it. At the end of the day, there's nothing.
That's true.
So this is, so apparently
you. And you know, I do dig this stuff, but I've always said to you, all right, we've had this discussion for 10 years. I don't want to know. I've told you that.
Right.
I don't want to know. And everybody says, oh, yeah, I'm not afraid. I want to know. No, you don't. You don't want
to
know.
So stay tuned. Coming soon to a theater near you. Mm. Be afraid. Be very afraid. If you're just tuning in, guys, it's Guy Talk, where we just kind of have some fun. Get out of sports for a second. We will talk more about the Falcons. The lack of moves, some would say.
Yeah.
There have been some moves made today. That's coming up at 5 o'clock. And some monstrous signings that are, again, not official, but words leaked today in the tampering period. That's coming up here in just a bit. All right. From the outer atmosphere to the stratosphere, boy, this is the definition of a crappy flight. Air India Flight 216 from Chicago to Delhi recently forced to turn around after passengers on the flight clogged 11 of the 12 toilets.
How is that possible?
I don't know, man. But how about this? Only 5 hours into the flight, decision was made by the flight crew to reroute the plane all the way back to Chi-Town.
No.
11 of the 12 toilets were completely clogged by passengers.
Wow.
That meant the flight was in the air for 10 hours, and for 5 of those hours, they come back with the same people who obviously got some serious digestive tract issues. The only working toilet, take a wild guess, was, of course, in business class, where people traveling in economy, you can't go past the curtain.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I'm precluded from doing any of the accents of the subcontinent because somebody will complain. I've got many accents I could do right now, but I'm not allowed. But needless to say, it's arguably the worst flight in the history of mankind.
There's nothing worse. Right. There's nothing worse.
Have you ever been on a really stinky plane?
That, and I've been on a plane where you don't have access to the restrooms.
Oh.
There's nothing worse. And people are like, what do you mean? And people are literally like, I'm going to pee in this cup. You know, people start losing their minds.
Man, I took a flight. I want to say this has got to be back in the early 2000s. It was probably 2000 because before 9/11, different times. But I flew into San Jose, Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And then my buddy, change of plans. We're going to Managua. We flew to Managua on TACA Airlines, TACA. And I'm like, what does TACA stand for? And this old businessman goes, oh, take a chance, Airlines. Yeah. Don't tell me that.
That's right.
But they were literally orange. There was a guy had like a chicken on the plane. Apparently, it was like he was going to a cockfight in Nicaragua.
Like, not caged?
No, like holding a chicken.
He was holding a chicken.
Holding,
it was like, just carry
on. The soul of my father, there was a man holding a chicken. Yes, on a flight to TACA Airlines to Managua, Nicaragua. All right. From that to the world of sports, Carl. Did you see what happened on ESPN Plus the other day?
No.
Some are saying the most interesting thing that's ever happened on ESPN Plus. It was a Coastal Carolina Chanticleers baseball game. Who knew they've got some of the hottest co-eds in all of the Carolinas? Take a listen to the play-by-play.
What that plan is. Selfie time for some, looks like some Chanticleer fans.
Yeah.
Chanticleer supporters. Okay. Obviously, her glasses are not reading glasses because she had them downward.
Now, you can't see it because we're on the radio, so let me explain what's going on. There's two knockouts. Dare I say, Oren, 11s?
They were very attractive. Very
in
attractive.
Tight outfits, and the girl, one of the girls, presumably a co-ed at Coastal Carolina, is basically taking a selfie, as the announcer talks about. Then she holds the camera at arm's length, turns, and takes a selfie of her butt.
Oh, so that's what he's describing.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so again, I know that we're on the radio. It's not a visual medium.
Yeah.
But Oren, real quick, before I show it to Carl, your thoughts.
I'm just wondering who got that selfie.
Yeah, for real. Who was she sending that to?
Maybe Dustin Johnson. The famous Coastal Carolina alumnus. Hey, man. Further proof the world has gone off the rails. Did you see what happened to this high school basketball game in Pennsylvania?
No, what happened?
We had this happen up in it was like a tournament up in Cartersville a couple years ago. Was
it a big fight?
Yeah, a major fight. It was a brawl in high school playoffs. Two towns, I presume, in western Pennsylvania near Erie, Meadville. Taking out some of the schools. Matt, you have to know who these schools are unless you're from up that neck of the woods. Either way, Meadville's leading 63-55, and all of a sudden they get a call. It's Uniontown's the other school. Call against Uniontown. Their fans start chirping at the refs. Next, you know, people start yelling, and then all hell breaks loose, and it literally becomes a battle royal that spills onto the floor, and they got to get the cops out there. I mean, literally, everybody's swinging on cuz. We've seen this happen way too often.
Well, sure.
In youth sports.
Players, coaches, everybody's involved?
Everybody's involved.
It's terrible.
Yeah. And the players end up getting into it because their parents are into it.
Oh, for sure.
You know, everything's going on. The coach of Meadville telling the Erie Times that his team was handling the situation well. It was possible there could be suspensions. Meanwhile, in Hershey, they're waiting for the winner of this game. So there's going to be some suspensions. If you haven't seen the video of this, I mean, literally, I mean, it's just, people are just throwing down. It's just bananas out there.
Mm.
Nuts. By the way, speaking of bananas, real quick, I got time for one more. Did the Beltline on Saturday. It was a beautiful day, 75 and sunny.
It was.
Holy, I don't know, man. We might need to make the Beltline twice as wide. It was packed. I mean, you were like literally, people are, I mean, just like, as people do on the Beltline, walking, jogging, some on bikes. Yeah, some on motorized skateboards.
Yeah.
Some dude zipping around like, dude, you got to freaking slow down, man.
I agree.
But it was absolutely bananas. But great day, man. Just insane.
Now, they are expanding it. Now, but what you're talking about is the width of the walkway.
Yeah, they need to.
That's
I don't know. They talk about putting a trolley thing. You can't put a trolley on that. That's. I can tell you right now, it was bananas. Chris, when's the last time you were on a Beltline? You live in Midtown.
Yeah. excuse me, Mike. Everything you're saying is 100% true. It makes it. It's almost to the point now where it's like losing the enjoyability.
Yeah. It was that population
like
density.
It's like a packed concert.
Right.
There's basically just people traffic everywhere.
Yeah.
So I think they may have to. There's only a small way you have to move from the greenery and expand it. But it was. We were over by Pont City Market. We started at New Realm.
Yeah.
Had Ike with me, and everybody with dogs was like, "Whoa, you got to grab your dog and get him out of the way."
Way. Yeah.
Because all heck was breaking loose. Speaking of congested traffic and lane, another crazy example of the world's losing its mind. High school track event, indoor track meet in Portsmouth, Virginia. Have you seen the video of this? A girl crosses, they're doing a 4x200 meter relay, And you won't know who the schools are. It doesn't matter. But you can Google it. A girl is behind this other girl. She crosses over at the part of the lane where you can get closer to you move over a lane. She felt like she got cut off illegally. She takes the baton and whack, hits the girl in the back of the head.
Purposely.
And the girl goes down.
Purposely? Fractures her skull.
Oh, wow.
You hadn't seen this?
No.
Yeah, it's bananas, man. It was basically it's assault. Parents
are
looking at legal
options. Did she keep running?
Yes. The girl with the baton who whacked her kept running. The other girl just went, ow,
fell down.
And fell down to the infield. But it's unbelievable. The girl, pretty funny, the girl who actually hit her with the baton, she tried to go on social media and try to come up with an excuse, but it really didn't make any sense. She goes, everybody has feelings, you know, so you're physically hurt, but you're not thinking of my mental. It's like they're going off one angle. that's the aggressor in this. Needless to say,
there is one angle. You hitting her with the baton.
The video is pretty much self-explanatory. Apparently, lightweight metal is used in cookware for those. I mean, I was never fast enough to be part of any relay team.
Yeah,
but apparently, yes, it's lightweight, but it can still pack a punch for the girl who got whopped in the head.
Yeah,
by
they're a little heavy. They're not super heavy, but that's interesting. And I've never seen anybody hit in the head with one.
During
a
commercial, Google track.
I've seen
baton.
A lot of them dropped. I love the relays. I love the 4x100, 1x10. Like I love relay races like that. But man, I've never seen somebody be that aggressive.
And again, I might watch more track and field if you are going to start beating your opponent with a baton. There is Guy Talk. I do expel. We got plenty to talk about with the NFL.
How patient are you going to be, guys? Falcons make moves. Well, they made one big one today, but they also restructured a guy, and they lost a guy. We're going to talk about how it affects the team, and we're going to take your phone calls at 404-726-0929. How are you feeling about the moves that have been made? We'll get into it next.